You're listening to Sipping on Some Crime podcast, hosted by Aaron. This podcast covers sensitive and triggering subjects, explicit language, and mature content which may not be suitable for children. As always, all parties are innocent until proven guilty.
Today, I am covering the Brandi Myers case. I met Kristen a few years ago now when she was holding a vigil for her sister, Brandi, at the Sunny Slope Elementary School in Phoenix, Arizona. I was not only instantly in awe by her strength, but her unapologetically genuine self. Kristen and her family lost a lot the day that Brandi disappeared. And Kristen has had to be the one that stepped up and been the advocate for her sister for 30 years now. Take that in. 30 years. While the current trial is in the media and people are talking about the zombie killer and the canal killer, I thought I would bring it back to the victims. So today, I'm going to talk about Brandi Myers and why her conviction matters. In the show notes, there is going to be a link to a GoFundMe. And at the end of this episode, I'm going to bring it up again and remind you guys about it because it is so important right now that we get Kristen to Arizona for this trial. While this trial isn't about charges for Brandi, it matters that she gets the chance to sit and look the man she believes is responsible for the death of her sister in the eyes. So let's dive in and talk about Brandi. Brandi was a 13-year-old girl who had her whole life in front of her. On May 26, 1992, Brandi was going to go door-to-door with her younger sister, Kristen, to collect signatures for a book-a-thon sponsored by her school. Brandi and Kristen lived in a small apartment complex in Phoenix, Arizona, close to their school, Sunny Slope Elementary. The apartment complex was just a few blocks from the school, and the girls decided they would head out in that direction. When it was time to go, Kristen decided she didn't want to go, but Brandi decided she would still go anyway. Kristen still remembers Brandi walking out of the complex and onto the sidewalk. As she watched Brandi turn the corner, she got a bad feeling. Kristen was so young, she was only 11, and she wasn't sure why she felt that way at the time. But looking back now, she knows she just felt something awful. The neighborhood at this time, and still today, is a bustling community. The complex Kristen and Brandi were living at is across from the fire department, and there are two churches next door to the apartment complex. The reason I mention this is after walking the location with Kristen as my guide, it's clear to see the neighborhood watches out for one another. So a kid going missing in the neighborhood without someone seeing what happened would be hard. It would be when Brandi didn't return home that night that the neighborhood quickly gathered and started a search party for Brandi. The police were brought in right away to assist with the search for Brandi, who was last seen around 8 p.m. on May 26th, knocking on a neighbor's door a few streets down from her complex. The following day, May 27th, as the search continued for Brandi Myers, a young girl's body was found in the Central Arizona Project Canal. The young female victim was around the same structure and build as Brandi. Unfortunately, we would not identify the young girl until 2011. It was later determined that it was a body of a girl that went missing 8 weeks before Brandi's disappearance. Her name was Shannon Amuck. Shannon's life was not an easy life, to say at the least. She was 16 at the time of her death, and nobody even reported her missing. Shannon's birth was the result of a sexual assault. Shannon resided with her birth mother until the age of 3 when her mother gave custody to her to CPS. A family in Flagstaff adopted Shannon at the age of 3, but they stated she was a very troubled child and they would decide to return her to CPS when she was just 12. Shannon then began being bounced between foster homes and group homes. Before her death, she had run away over 40 times in 1 year. When Shannon went missing in 1992, there was no one looking for her. Shannon would be buried as a Jane Doe until they were able to match her DNA to her birth mother in 2011. Shannon's death was listed as strangulation. Investigators would discover she was never reported missing after she had run away from the group home she was in about a month before her disappearance. No one knew when they were looking for Brandy that they already had a young girl in the area also missing. Shannon's case is still open and unsolved today. In November 1992, 6 months into the search for Brandy, 22-year-old Angela Brasso would go out for a bike ride in her Phoenix neighborhood, and she would never return home. She was reported missing and her body was found within a week. However, they were not able to identify her body since at the time her head had been removed before the disposal of her remains. The searches later found her head floating in the Arizona canal 11 days later. Melanie Barnes was a 17-year-old local high school student in Phoenix. She would go on a bike ride near the canal in September 1993. She would be reported missing and her body would be found the following day in the canal. Her cause of death has yet to be released. In January 2015, Phoenix police would arrest a man named Brian Patrick Miller after he allegedly attacked a woman he was giving a ride home. This young lady would state that he just began stabbing her multiple times as she was able to flee from the car and seek help. While Miller was on investigators' radar, they would not be able to procure his DNA evidence until 2015. When they did and added it to the national database, that's when they would get a hit on DNA evidence that tied him to both Angela Barrasso and Melanie Barnes. Miller was known in the area to locals and police because he drove a decommissioned police car that he had painted with the moniker The Zombie Hunter, a character he often cosplayed and drew a lot of attention. Miller would dress up in these elaborate outfits and pose with people on the streets of Phoenix. There are even pictures of him posing with local police officers before his arrest. Miller was no stranger to law enforcement beyond them knowing him as the Zombie Hunter. Miller was arrested as a juvenile in 1990 for a stabbing of a young girl near the Paradise Valley Mall in Phoenix, and he also was accused of stabbing another woman in Everett, Washington. So how does all of this bring us back to Brandy? The day that Brandy disappeared, she had walked door to door in her neighborhood. That we know. We also have the neighbors who had last seen Brandy knocking on the doors down the street. That very street that Brandy was last seen on just happens to be the same street Brian Patrick Miller resided on in May 1992. At the time, Miller was renting an apartment in a little house that looks like it was remodeled into two separate units. Brandy was seen knocking on the door just two doors down from Miller's door. Brandy's body was never found, so we don't have DNA to work from. So what ties Miller allegedly to Brandy's case? Let's start with the fact that he lived in the same neighborhood close to where the two other victims resided in and were killed in, and their bodies dumped in. Kristen and Brandy walked past Miller's house every day on their way to and from school. Miller also has a proven history of violence towards women shown throughout his previous arrests. Shortly after his arrest in 2015, Miller's ex-wife would come forward and tell police about a confession Miller made to her about killing a young girl that knocked on their door one day in Phoenix in May 1992. Miller's ex-wife would tell investigators about Miller's retelling of the day in 1992 when a young girl came knocking on the door. Miller would tell his wife at the time he heard a knock, open the door to see a young girl just standing there, and at that moment decided to grab her. At this point, he would tell his ex-wife that he dragged her in and stabbed her repeatedly. Miller's ex then stated that he took the young girl's body to the tub and dismembered her body and later disposed of her body at the recycling center. I know I don't typically go into such details and I try to keep them light because I don't want the family to relive it. And I know in this case, it is important for you to understand what happened to Brandy. With the timeline and the details of the young lady matching Brandy and other evidence pointing to Miller's guilt, the investigators assured Kristen that they had found Brandy's killer. They stated that Miller was allegedly responsible for taking Brandy's life that day and that they were sure of it. Kristen would say, quote, "The detectives called me in and said, 'We have him. We know what happened to Brandy, down to the color of the bag Miller used to dispose of Brandy's body. But her case sits resolved yet unsolved.'" Unquote. What brought me to write this article was watching a reporter ask Kristen why it was important that Brandy's name be added to the list of victims. And it made my blood boil. Are you serious? Is that a serious question? So let's talk about why it is important that Brandy's named as a victim. If we know what happened to her and who did it, why is Kristen still finding time in her own hectic life to run a Facebook campaign and a Twitter account dedicated to her sister being named as a victim of the canal killer? Why did Kristen create a letter asking Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery at the time to please consider bringing charges against Miller in her sister's death? Because the conviction matters. Kristen is begging to please give her her sister's day in court. It's important because Brandy was a person. She was someone's daughter, sister, and friend. She was so very loved and has been missed by so many. It's important because Brandy was a big sister who has missed every single waking day of Kristen and her family. Brandy being ripped from her family and missing over 20 years with no answers destroyed her family. Kristen had to go on without her big sister, and losing your sister, that's a bond that cannot be replaced. Kristen has spent her childhood and her whole adult life living with the effects of having her sister taken away from her, going missing, and then learning that she was murdered, and then learning that they weren't going to do anything with those charges. She spent most of her childhood and early adult life looking for her sister. And now she's spending every free moment to get her sister her rightful day in court, fighting to give Brandy her voice back. There's something about this true crime culture where we seem to miss the fact that when a person goes missing or is murdered in a family, it does not take just the victim's life. In most cases, every murdered or missing investigation at the beginning is filled with hope of finding that person responsible for the murder or abduction of their loved one. The family has no control over who is assigned to their loved one's case and how it's investigated. Not all cases are worked on and covered with the same care. Media can often ignore cases in their own backyard and use the media attention on more sensationalized cases, leaving those in their community frustrated and feeling hopeless about their loved one's case. Kristen was left to pick up the pieces when she was just 11, and that continued into her adulthood. Brandy being taken that day changed everyone who loved her's life forever. It changed their entire neighborhood and community. Brandy being taken that day shaped so many lives. That's not something we tend to talk about, the family and the community impact. When Kristen showed me the balcony that she stood on watching Brandy turn down the street, a girl in the complex came to talk to us. She told Kristen she didn't live in the apartments at the time that Brandy disappeared, but she did grow up in the neighborhood and knew about Brandy and the search for her. Brandy's story, Angela's story, Melanie's story, and the discovery of Shannon was all etched into their childhoods and had become the reason their parents feared them playing alone. It had changed everyone in that neighborhood. It had stolen a bit of innocence and security from each of their lives. Brandy's case would fall on Kristen's shoulder as the adults just couldn't handle all the pain and constant disappointment. The family was left wondering what happened to Brandy, and for years, that went unanswered. The mind can be very unkind, and running through all the scenarios of what may have happened to someone you loved is natural and a painful part of the process. Chasing every single lead down only to at some point learn that you shouldn't hope, because so many hopeful leads begin to fall short. Detectives transfer and retire, and the case gets passed to a new detective. Now the family needs to rely on a new detective who wasn't present at the time of the case and also now has to catch up on this case and multiple other cold cases that have been passed along. Witnesses age with the passing of time, and memories are harder to recall accurately when being re-interviewed years later. Sometimes the new detective on the case is exactly what the case needed. And other times, families feel like they lost the one person they had that cared about their loved one and their case. Years pass not knowing what happened to the one you love. Evidence becomes harder to collect, and keeping the case fresh in the minds of the public is the hardest part. Think of the people in your life and how much you love them. Now imagine someone taking their life or they go missing. How many years would it take for you to say the search for that loved one no longer matters? How long would you fight for their murderer to be found and prosecuted? Imagine just for a moment how you would feel if the detectives that were assigned to your loved one's disappearance came to you and said, "We figured out what happened to your loved one the day they disappeared. We have answers." They sit you down, they explain to you how they were abducted, how someone brutally killed them, and then disposed of their body in a way that can never be recovered. They know this because they're confident based on the evidence they collected. They have arrested him in connection with two other girls in the same neighborhood within the same time frame. However, they will not be seeking the conviction for your loved one because they don't have the body. They have all the evidence and it lines up. We have the killer who we can connect through DNA to two similar murders in the same location. The other known victims were of the same build and had similar looks and were killed only months apart. We have an ex-wife that's willing to testify that her ex-husband told her in detail about the killing of this young girl, and the details match exactly what the detectives already knew. That's exactly what they told Kristen, yet here we are today with no conviction. This happens all the time, even in highly publicized cases like the Atlanta child murders. Until Payne Lindsay covered that story, I had no clue that no convictions were given to Williams for the 28 children that were later killed. Each child's case is still open without a conviction to this day. And until this massive media attention and mindhunters brought attention to the fact that every single child case is still open, it remained quietly that way until the media attention forced the GBI to take a second look into the case. So as a loved one, a family member, what do you do if a case that big with demand from the public and that many victims that makes national news can go on without any conviction? How do you fight for your loved one to get their voice back and to have a chance to fight for their justice in court if you cannot get anyone in law enforcement to help you? Seriously, though, at this point, I'm asking, what do we do? Public pressure is the only thing that gets these cases looked at again. We must tell their stories again and again. We must shout their names and their injustice in hopes that we can find and build an army for those victims whose voices are lost in the sea of missing and murdered cold cases that are piling up on desks in every state and every town. We must find a way to raise each voice and help them get the justice that they deserve. On that note, I ask that you please stop asking why it matters to these families. Please don't ask a victim's family member why they are still searching for a loved one years, even decades later. Don't ask them why it matters that their loved one's name is added as a victim to the accused killer, even if that killer has been arrested for another murder or has passed. If you find yourself asking these questions, I ask you to truly look at your loved ones and just try to put yourself in these family's shoes. I know I'd never stop looking, stop caring, or stop demanding my loved one's justice. Brandy Meyer's story and her case is the perfect example of what's wrong with our justice system and the issues we run into with no-body cases. The justice system needs to be reevaluated. How are we able to close cases that are resolved but unsolved by tying them to other convictions? Brandy's name deserves to be mentioned anytime Miller's name and his other victims' names are brought up. Brandy's name and all the other victims' names should always be shouted louder than the man who allegedly took their lives. That's the other side of it. Without a conviction, a trial, you can't even say Miller is responsible for Brandy's death, even with all the pieces of the puzzle, without adding allegedly. That makes my heart hurt, and I hope I have changed a few minds and hearts with this. I ask that you please head to the links below to help support Kristen in her fight to have Brandy's day in court. I said at the top of the episode that I am going to link a GoFundMe. Right now, Kristen is trying to get to Arizona and attend the trial. She's hoping that she might get a victim impact statement, but at the very least, she has the right to look this man in the face. If you can, please click the GoFundMe link in my show notes. It'll be on all my social media, and donate whatever you can. And if you can't donate, we understand that. Please share the link on all your social media. We have to get Kristen there. It's time that, at the very least, Kristen gets to look at him face to face. Kristen is a warrior and one hell of a fighter. And when I say she is the most genuine human you'll ever meet, I mean it. She is unapologetically herself, and I absolutely adore her for it. But don't just take my word for it. I'm going to have you all listen to an interview that Kristen gave a local news reporter whose station decided that this story wasn't worth running. But I knew it was. The audio isn't perfect. And like I said, this is one of the first cases that I worked on, but the words are so important. So here's that interview.
And I was a stink, so she would stay inside and like play with me when I was grounded, for instance. And she didn't have to, like she could be out playing, you know, but she didn't. She'd stay inside and play with me. And I don't know, I remember little things like making secret toast for my mom, or, you know, just dressing up and laying in bed and talking about what life would be like when we were moms and we didn't have to listen to anybody. You know, I remember things like that. I remember trying to teach Brandy how to be a tomboy because she was very girly and I was not. So I wanted to jump fences and climb walls and trees and ride bikes and skateboards, and she wanted to play with Barbies and Cabbage Patches. So we would try to bribe her with candy. We would be on the other side of the fence or the wall, like, all you have to do is get over this wall and then you can have this candy. And she still wasn't very good, but it just speaks to her character that she would try to do something she wasn't good at and try to do something she probably didn't even want to do just so she could be with me.
And lastly, that song was an original song?
That was an original song that was written by a friend of mine named Kristen Larkin. She's on YouTube. You can look her up. She's definitely amazing. I lived in Tennessee not too long ago. I just recently moved back here to pick up this fight, and I had asked Kristen if she would write a song for Brandy. And she said yes, and it took her a little while to get it written. You know, it's a hard song to write. And in the end, this is what came out. Like, initially it was supposed to be a song from me to her, and in the end it was a song from her to me. So I'm really, really proud of that song.
Are we allowed to use that music?
Oh, absolutely. And she was thrown away. So because we don't have her body to connect to DNA, the Maricopa County prosecutor, Bill Montgomery, has refused to take this case. The other branch of the government, the Phoenix Cold Case Division, has solved Brandy's case. They've concluded without doubt and sat me down and told me I didn't need to worry or wonder anymore. This was the guy. And we knew every detail, down to the color of the trash bag. And now I'm saying there's no way you can tell me all of that and then tell me there's nothing that can be done. No, he is in jail right now facing capital murder. He is looking at the death penalty for killing Angela Brasso and Melanie Burness. And they're also looking at him for four more girls.
So what would put your family at ease and finally help you? And what's the final goal?
An official charge. Brandy should be listed as a homicide victim and not still a missing persons. We know what's happened to Brandy. We know who did it. So we need to move forward to the homicide case. He needs to be formally charged, and we have a court date. I'm also pushing because I very much want my impact statement. I don't get an impact statement unless this man is charged. You know, and I've waited 27 years of my life to say some words to the man or person who took everything from me and my entire family. So I'm pushing for that. I'm pushing to speak to him and maybe make an impact on him, if that can be done. I'm pushing to be able to tell him that I forgive him and he no longer has power over my life, because for a very long time he did, and everything was very dark for a long, long time, and it took a lot of work to process losing Brandy and just the aftermath of it.
Let's help finish this in Brandy's name and help her honor her sister's life by asking that Brian Patrick Miller be charged in the murder of Brandy Myers and that he stand trial by his peers to determine his guilt. Let's bring it home for Brandy. Thank you so much for listening to another episode. And please visit the links below if you would like to learn more about Brandy's case. Kristen does run a Facebook page, Justice for Brandy Myers. I will have the link below in the show notes, as well as on my social media and my webpage. Don't forget, when you see those missing and murdered posts on social media, to hit like, share, and retweet. Every time we share a face, we get closer to solving a case. Until next time.